And welcome back to another episode of the Shoujo Podcast, where I, Sarah, as always, introduce, well, false. Joe! Switch! Reversal of normal format. Joe is introducing me to a shoujo that he has seen, and I have not, which is Revolutionary Girl Utena. But this is the Shoujo Podcast. We talk about shoujo anime, recap, discuss, and have general good times here. So welcome. How you doing, Joe?
I was so worried when you said reverse, you were going to have me do the rest of the opening.
Oh.
Like you were just going to throw that at me.
No, I'm good.
You know, things have gotten a little... So for the past 2 weeks, it's been about 8 degrees here, 8 to 12, you know.
Burn.
Sometimes it'll get into the like the low 20s, but today it was in the low 30s, and I'm like, wow, I have gotten so used to it being cold that it's so nice. Should I go out for like a walk today? Like, this is the nicest it's been in so long. So I now feel like I am cold acclimated finally.
Look at you. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I'm still not heat acclimated because it was freaking like 80 degrees on Saturday. And it was awful.
I guess for our international listeners, we're talking about Fahrenheit. Please feel free to convert that to Celsius at your own leisure.
I was going to say, I definitely couldn't tell you. I know at some point they get to be the same, right? Like a certain temperature, they become the same number.
It's like negative 40 or something, right?
Yeah, something crazy.
Yeah.
But yes, we're Joe's in Ohio and poor Sarah is in Texas.
That's right.
Well, did you took your stroll and you were like, ah?
Oh, I didn't walk outside. No. That'd be no. I just thought about it for the first time. Okay. It crossed my mind.
Gotcha.
I would never suggest myself to that.
I was outside this weekend because I went to Six Flags Fiesta Texas on Saturday because I was supposed to go for my brother's birthday, but that was when our little ice storm hit. And here we are a few weeks later with it being 80 degrees in February, which is stupid.
Wow.
It makes me mad, but it's fine. Even in 80 degrees, I was like, wow, I can't believe. Because normally, or, you know, when I went to Six Flags more, I was younger. But it was like during the summer, it's like, my God, how was I out here in like 100 degree weather all day?
Yeah, it's all concrete.
Just miserable. Yes, it was actually really nice. Like there really wasn't too bad of lines and stuff. And I was kind of nervous because it was like, oh God, it's me, my stepdad, and then my teenage brother and my teenage brother's friends. And I was like, oh God, I'm going to be surrounded by teenage boys and they're going to be dumb and I'm going to have to listen to them, whatever. But it wasn't so bad. And you'll be pleased to know, because they both like anime, even though my brother doesn't. But one of them, you said, their favorite anime was Neon Evangelion.
Neon Genesis Evangelion, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
So even the kids these days are watching and liking.
Yeah. Timeless. I mean, I guess they had those movies, so they still got stuff.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Temporary a bit. Yeah. You should. Did you tell them about Vodums? Did you sell them on that? Oh.
No. And then they asked me what mine was, and I said, Cardcaptor Sakura, and then just zero registration of what's for them. But yeah, no. So
what's your second favorite?
Future.
Like, what is your
My
one that you would
favorite?
Say?
Well, I liked Chihaya Furu before we put it on blast for deep review.
What's the most recent one that's in your, like, top 10-ish?
I really like Haikyuu.
Cricket,
shut the trap, girl. Recent. I like the fragrant flower that blooms with dignity. Sounds cute. I don't know. I feel like the last time, I don't know, like a new anime. It's harder to come by new ones that I'm liking.
Mm-hmm.
There's like older ones. I'll find them. I'm like, yeah, but I don't know.
Yeah. People like Frieren. People like
I thought it was boring. I only watched one episode, but
what else do people like?
Not a fair chance, I guess. JJK.
You might like. Yeah.
And
sure.
One Piece and
Well, yeah, I guess.
Freaking Dan to Dan. Hate it.
The funniest joke still is that One Piece is now stopping airing continuously. It will now be going to like a season structure. So Everybody calling everything that came before this season one is very funny.
I have seen that.
Yeah.
Cricket, you're not getting my food. Be grateful I dropped any bit of it for you to eat.
So have you not been watching any anime recently? Is that what I'm
hearing? I even tried to like get back because I never finished or I didn't watch whatever the last bit of Attack on Titan was. And I was like, oh,
okay.
I feel like people see it as good. So I'm like, I don't remember anything past like season two very well. I remember how annoying Gabi was. I just, as soon as it gets like, oh, politics, it went, bleh, my brain just.
It's like
out, so it's
entirely
like, I'm so,
what the last season's about.
I know. So for it's no like reason. I really don't want to watch it, but I feel like I should just because I watched the rest of it to finish it. But I'm like having a hard time like getting into it again.
Yeah. That would be a hard one to walk away from and try to get back into.
The person I introduced Haikyuu to, I'm making them watch. Well, the first episode is the making of, but now they're totally into Fruits Basket and rewatching. I'm like, this is good.
The old one or the remake?
The remake is what we're watching, but it's so good. It's so good. The music's good. The art's pretty. I know you're not as hot on it, but.
Well, I only watched the old one.
Okay. Well, we'll watch the new one at some point. No, yeah, you're right. We'll watch. I know the old one like probably only goes to maybe like volume 6 or something of the manga. But the new one finishes the entire story. So we should definitely cover it at some point. And then we'll see. The first time I was watching it, I was like crying a lot. I don't know if that was like hormonal reasons or and if I would cry again. But it's so touching. Tragic backstories.
Yeah.
This is like where it's like a huge cast, but I like care about all the characters, which is a rare thing to achieve.
Okay. Yeah.
And it feels like it's at like a good pace of not like, oh, here we go. Here's another person with their thing, blah, blah, blah. Or, you know, It's not like Demon Slayer where it's like, ah, here's a thing I don't care about learning the backstory of.
Here's a guy you're not supposed to like. Anyway, here's his tragic backstory. All right. Say bye to that character now.
Yeah. You don't like that it's loop. Not like that. Nope.
Yeah.
How about you? Have you any more Disney movies under the belt?
We did watch the DuckTales movie, which was the first Movie Tunes movie, which is the, I guess, the production studio that's in Paris that they opened up after, I think, like, Who Framed Roger Rabbit or something like that.
Are they the ones who worked on Extremely Goofy or Goofy movie?
Yes, they made the Goofy movie. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Unfortunately, this was not as good as the Goofy movie. This was a movie.
Mm.
It was, I didn't like it that much. Everybody else thought it was okay. So, you know, I guess it's fine. So we did that. And now we're on to The Rescuers Down Under, which I have not seen.
Woo-hoo-hoo! Yeah, good.
So that's pretty good. Let's see. I'm like almost rounding out the end. I'm in the tail end of Turn A Gundam, which so far has been great. And
that's a new one?
I did finish. That's an old one. It's not a new one. No, it's like a 1998 or something.
Gotcha.
I finished a video game, which I have not been playing games as much.
Mm.
Kind of fallen to the wayside as I have been under much pressure to read books and do things like that. So I beat Dispatch. I was playing Dispatch and I beat Dispatch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And
what do you want to know about Dispatch? Let me tell you, the gameplay, extremely easy. I turned off QuickTime events because I don't care about QuickTime events. That's so I'm stressful. Really just doing the dispatching minigame. It got increasingly easier as it went along. I assume because I'm just such a god gamer that I just know how to give everybody stats. But that game is pretty easy.
Okay. Does it say, well, because I know there's like the two ladies you can pick between. Does it feel like it's a token second option and there's only one that really feels right? Or which one did you go with? The blondie or the angry lady?
I went with the angry lady. That seemed like the story relevant one. I was convinced going into, like, as I played more and more, because, like, they have all these things where it's like, oh, when you do something, oh, X will remember that. And I realized later on that that's, like, a joke. Like, that doesn't really mean anything. I guess it's just a joke about Telltale Games. So I was convinced getting to the end of it that, like, none of these decisions actually mattered at all. But then at the end, in the little credit sequence, when they're like, this many players chose this, there was, like, a couple of big ones that were like, oh, this person believed, like, you believed in this person, and therefore they remained a good guy. I'm like, what? That was an option? Yeah. There's a couple other funny things, like, I mean, it's a very, how do I describe it? Like, it's
kind of pitches itself. Online.
Yeah, it's definitely a streamer game for sure, right?
Okay.
I mean, like, a lot of the voice
actors. Good for audience.
Like, there is a character who's voiced by Moist Critical that everybody likes, even though the character sucks. It's very funny because early on,
Critical Role.
No. The streamer guy.
Moist Critical. Oh, I don't know who that is.
Yeah, he's got a voice that people know. Okay. Yeah, so it's a lot of like internet people doing voices and things like that. So there's a point pretty early on where you have to like cut somebody from the team, and then like whoever you cut from the team like shows back up on like the opponent side or whatever. And then at the end it's like, oh, like, do you want to like let them back into the group so we can all have a happy ending? And I'm like, no, I don't care about them. Who cares? And I was 4% of people said no at the end of that. So I feel like that's like people are not role playing this game. It's kind of just like a friend game kind of thing where you like stream for your friends, and it's just kind of like, you know, it's pretty nice. I mean, there's like it's a lot of like dick jokes and swearing and stuff, but it's still like very YA level of drama, I feel like. Okay. So it was fun. It was cute. I liked it.
Okay, nice. Do you see a lot of replay? I mean, you might not replay it, but does it seem like it has replay value? I guess for decision making purposes.
I don't know. This seems like
content with the story as it was.
I'd probably just watch a YouTube video because like the story is probably interesting. I have no interest in replaying the gameplay of that game.
Gotcha. Okay. Nice. Yeah. I picked up or yesterday I started sorry, I'm about to sneeze.
Yeah, do it. Sneeze. I'm not gonna stop you.
Except for when you say it, then it doesn't happen. It's fine. The moment's over. It's past.
Through the internet, I put my finger under your nose, so it didn't happen. You know how everyone's always doing that in real life?
Is that a thing? No. Is that a thing? Stop it.
I've only ever seen that in cartoons. I think it might be a thing. I don't know.
Oh. No. I played Neo 3 for the first time. And I was like, I'm pretty content with how my character looks, except like a few minor things. But I'm like, I feel like I can't get into the game now until they give me the option, because I know it's coming where I get to change my character. So I feel like checked out until I can fix my character and be like, yeah, my character looks just right. I can't be fully present for the rest of the game.
How many hours?
I gotta give that to me soon.
Did you spend in the character customization screen?
Like an hour and 40 minutes.
Okay.
So not terrible. Terrible, but I'll be back to drop more, sink more time into back. Character create. Yeah. So I never finished Neo 2, and it kind of seems like maybe, I mean, it's not necessary, but I feel like it's fulfilling because it does seem to reference the second game's protagonist that you play as a little bit, because this somehow this is like a go back in time thing, which I am very early in the game, so I'm like, I didn't even realize we went back in time until I got an achievement saying that. I was like, wait, what? But I mean, generally, it seems like most people think it's better than the first two games, of which I only played a good chunk of two.
And that's good.
The first one. But yeah, it's nice when games improve upon themselves.
Yeah. Well, speaking of games referencing other games, I've made a little bit of progress in KOTOR 2.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
So I've been to, I tried to go to.
Well, not everything. We'll have to do a bonus episode at some point.
On Onderon? I tried to go there, but I end up at the moon, where I meet up with Mandalorians.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah. And so I've done some of that stuff. Let's see. I've gotten a little bit of Handmaiden stuff going on. She's weird. I'm very bad at gaining influence with my party members. for some, like, I, once again, because, you know, every time I play one of these games, I'm always like, all right, well, we'll just max out, like, charisma and stuff like that, because I want to unlock all the dialogue things. This time, I was different. I'm like, what if I'm just, like a dumb, nice guy? What if I'm just, like, a himbo, so it's all strength, and my charisma's not great? And it turns out playing that way just kind of sucks, because it's like, I just don't get access to, like, all the fights, trivial. I'm just tearing through everybody. Like their tissue paper. I like go back to my ship and I find some weird lady on there and I'm like 1v1ing her and it's just like, yeah, I beat her on the first try. Like, no problem. But yeah, I can't talk to anybody. I don't get, my influence is low with everybody. Nobody wants to be my friend. It's very irritating.
It was like 2005, so.
Just always do charisma builds, I guess. Just never.
That's what I do. I just want to barely string a sentence together in real life, so I want to, that's the dream for me, is have a silver tongue in games. It's just something I've always been drawn to, even since I was a kid. I guess because I grew up playing BioWare games. I guess that's just what I was trained to do. But because it feels like you're missing out on things if you, like, I can be at ease not having like the ability to lockpick something and not get whatever's in that, but I can't move on knowing that there's like some kind of conversation that I don't get to have because I don't have a certain.
Yeah, bullshit. I don't like how it's locking me out of character stuff about characters I care about. You know what I mean? Like, it's fine if I can't talk my way out of a situation, I had to fight my way out of a situation. That's cool. Yeah. But the fact that it's like I can't get to know somebody who I apparently have been traveling around with for weeks is weird and like feels artificial to me.
You just have to keep going back to the ship and new cutscenes will play.
I guess so.
Only one plays per entry, I think, so I would just leave, come back.
Oh, okay, ship. Okay. Yeah.
I think that's the move, if I remember correctly. I'm trying to think about what now. Well, we'll have at some point, you'll finish KOTOR 2 and we can do our follow-up bonus to that.
Yeah.
But because they, and then whatever game they just announced, they're working on that is somewhat related to KOTOR. Hopefully that actually comes out and we can play it and talk about it.
Yeah, who knows?
Yep. But in the meantime, we can talk about
the show we're watching. We can talk about Revolutionary Girl Lieutenant. Yay!
Yay!
So we're back again. I'm gonna recap episode 3 and 4. But first, I'm gonna start with some voice actors. The voice actress for Tenjo Utena is Tomoko Kamakami. She was the voice of Mizusu Kamio in Air.
Have you ever heard of Air? Yes.
Air TV. Okay. I've never heard of this, but this is like high.
Fabulous opening.
Oh, okay. Also the voice of Soifon in Bleach, Hikaru Shindo in Hikaru no Go, Rika Sasaki in Cardcaptor Sakura. Do you know who that is? Is that a character that matters?
I think it's just a side character.
It might just be a side character.
Yeah, unless it's from Clear. Is it Clear Car or just Cardcaptor?
I think it's just the original. It's probably just some random character. And she's also...
Oh, no. She's the character from like a troubling aspect of that show.
With, oh, great.
Just a significant age gap.
Yeah.
That's her. Okay.
Cool. And she's also the voice of Pichu and Diamond in Pokemon Diamond and Pearl. The show.
Nice.
So I believe passed away. That's sad. Okay. The voice actress for Anthy Himemiya is Yuriko Fujisaki. She is the voice of Sanosuke and Rurouni Kenshin, who's the other guy.
Is it? Yeah. Grown-ass man. Interesting.
That's what it said. Okay. I don't know. That's what it said. I'm going to double check that. Yup.
Oh, speaking of Fruits Basket.
Let me see if that double checks on.
That seems crazy.
Oh, he's young. Or she's young, Sanosuke. Oh,
okay. Yeah, That makes sense.
I don't know.
The guy who carries like the biggest sword ever.
I keep going to my anime list and it keeps disappointing me. I don't think that thing's really up to date. I need to start going to Wikipedia page. I need to just cross-reference lots of stuff. It's not good enough, you know?
Work. More work for Joe.
More work for me. Also the voice of Hiro Soma in Fruits Basket. A character I don't think I even got to.
He's from the 2001. He's the year of the sheep.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that was like pretty brief in the
2000s. Yeah.
She's the voice of Kaori in the Akira movie. She's the voice of Kimiko Higuchiru in Gunbuster, who's like the friend that stays on Earth. And she's the voice of Wendy Darling in Kingdom Hearts, and also the dub of Velma in the live-action Scooby-Doo movies, which I think is very funny.
What? The dub?
Yeah, the Japanese dub. Oh, in
Japanese, right. These are Japanese. I'm like, what? No, okay, I see. That. Yeah, okay, fun.
Yeah, that's a pretty fun one.
Mm-hmm.
There we go.
Very all nice. Right. Thank you.
Yeah.
For sharing always, and looking that fun. Up for us.
All right, Revolutionary Girl Utena Episode 3 is called On the Night of the Ball. We open on a retread of the Princess Prince fairy tale from episode 1 in full. They do the whole thing.
I know. I was like, I feel like maybe they showed. Okay. They show more in the flashback, or at least I feel like they show the prince's face now, of which I'm like, don't pretend. Don't have flashbacks. I'm getting ahead of myself. Don't have flashbacks of someone and then have their appearance in your memory and then think they could possibly be this other guy.
Yeah, this is an extremely funny subplot. Afterwards, we get a scene of Utena waking up and remembering all this stuff with the Rose Bride. She's like, oh, yeah, that's right. This is what my life is like now. Anthy and Utena eat breakfast, and Utena wonders if they'll ever have company, but Anthy isn't bothered by the solitude. She's like, it's cool. Isn't it nice that it's just the two of us? And Utena's not really.
Anytime anyone else is around, they're slapping her. My God. It's true. It's excessive.
Utena asks Anthy if she has any other friends, and she's like, yeah, I have Choo-Choo. You know Choo-Choo. And Utena's like, all right.
Okay. Do you call out all the little Choo-Choo moments? Because I think he's my favorite character.
I don't. But if you want to call them out, you can.
I'll try to, yeah.
There's tons of... This is like where the comedy starts turning on in the show. Yes,
yeah.
It is definitely in both these episodes.
He's very funny. Mm-hmm.
Utena and Anthy walk to school. Utena asks Anthy to stop calling her Utena-sama, which is like an honorific you give to, like, you know, someone who has authority over you.
Yep.
Or you respect or something like that. But she gets interrupted by all of her classmates fawning over her who also call her that.
Yeah.
Which is very funny. She's like, but all right, it's okay. But like when they do it, it's a joke. But when you do it, you're like doing it. And Anthy's like, but I'm your bride. And Utena's like, okay, yeah, also you have to knock off saying you're my bride stuff. I don't want to be engaged. I'm just a normal girl who wants a normal boy. And then suddenly Toga appears and is like, hi, I'm Toga. I'm a normal boy. And then he's like, hey, huh? Oh, you hate him?
I don't like him.
Oh, the vibes are terrible. And
yes.
He's like, hey, anyway, you haven't told anybody about the whole dueling thing, right? That's kind of like a need to know information thing. And Utena's like, yeah, I haven't told anybody. Don't worry about it. Toga then starts hitting on Utena and touches her hair, and she smacks his hand away dramatically and is like, you're being way too forward, my guy.
Smack that. Get that out of there.
Yeah. But Toga is undeterred. He's like,
sorry. I'm just like, that seems crazy. Just grab some chick's hair you don't know.
Yeah.
It's wild.
People do it, though.
Wild. Do they? No. Nobody's touching my hair. Or I guess I might smack him, too.
You'd smack him, too. That's what I'm saying. It's the proper response. But Toga is undeterred. He's like, we should be friends. We'll be seeing a lot of each other. And then he shows her his rose seal ring. And Utena's like, why do you have that? And he says that he has it so he could meet her. And she's like, wait a minute. This guy couldn't be the prince from that dream who said he gave me the ring so I could meet him, right?
No, right. Correct, girl. You literally, like, think about it. It's very clearly not him.
I don't know. I mean, we don't know if she sees her flashback like that.
Okay, well, it was only like 5 years ago or whatever they said, right? It wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, but, you know, when you're a kid, 5 years is forever.
No, I feel like after the age of 5, you remember things.
We get a student council elevator sequence, but Sionji isn't there this time, and Toga fills the group in that Sionji lost again, and he's been sulking in his room ever since. And they're like, okay, but what about Utena? Like, who is she? And Toga says that she's not like them because end of the world doesn't contact her. So they'll need to figure out what to do with her themselves. Later, Utena watches Toga talk to a bunch of girls from the balcony, and Wakaba ambushes her and is like, ho ho ho, got a thing for Toga, huh? That's a tough one. He's a bit of a player. And Utena's like, yeah, I'm not really into him that way. Don't worry about it. And then Wakaba asks who's Utena's roommate is. And she's like, oh, it's Anthy. And Wakaba's like, oh, bummer. I heard she got Sionji in trouble. Everybody hates her.
I am now starting to be suspicious of Wakaba.
Yeah.
I'm like, is she like, I feel like anytime Anthy comes up, she's throwing shade her way. So I'm a little, Wakaba, I got my eye on you, girl.
Yep. Mm.
Or she's just jealous that mm-hmm. they're hanging out. Is trying to, it could just be as simple as that, but we'll see.
Yeah, could be. We cut to Anthy being slapped by some bullies who accuse her of ruining Sionji's confidence. She's saved when a blonde girl steps in and the bullies get intimidated and they run off. This is Nanami, and she tells Anthy that Anthy is very popular with the boys. They're having a party this weekend, and she's been nominated to be dance queen at the party. You have to come to my party, Anthy.
You know, this kind of sounds like the plot of, what's the movie with the psychic chick?
Carrie.
It kind of sounds like the plot of that.
It's extremely bad, yeah?
Yes. Nanami is, like, one of my favorite. It's probably my favorite Japanese name.
Oh, uh-huh.
It's so cute!
Yeah, what do you think about her? What do you think about her entrance here? She's very blonde.
If you're the only character who doesn't have white in her eyes, like, everyone else has, like, white and then their eye or iris or whatever, but she doesn't, which is a villain's eye.
That's right.
Ugh.
Dance Queen's a very funny thing to be nominated for being, like, not dancing. It's not related to dancing. It's very funny.
The whole setup vibe seems irrelevant. It was just any kind of, like, no significance to dancing. No.
Nope.
Just a social gathering.
Oh, yeah.
It's weird. The show is a little strange.
Yeah?
We'll get into it. Yeah.
We cut to Anthy and Choo-Choo playing Old Maid while Utena watches. And Utena again asks Anthy if she has any more friends. They get a delivery of two packages, and Anthy gets a green dress that she's supposed to wear to the party so she can be dance queen. Utena gets a package from Toga. Sorry, go ahead.
We need to talk. This is where Choo-Choo... At first, what I saw... Okay, it came with two little packets, which kind of look like condoms, honestly, that came with the dress. So I was like, what the hell? But I think they're supposed to be, like, how when you get packages, there's, like, the little things to keep them from going stale or whatever.
Yeah, the things that eat
there's
moisture.
There's, like, two of those. Choo-Choo eats it, and then, like, is dying on the side. It's funny. It's really funny. He's so funny.
Yeah.
He's trying to eat everything.
He shows up with quite a bit. It's pretty good. Utena gets a package from Toga. It's a pink dress that he wants her to wear to the party, and Utena hates it.
And I hate it. It's ugly.
It's not that great.
It's just got a big flower slapped on the front and 20 layers. It's awful.
Huge.
Oh.
Anthony's like, oh, you're not going then? Okay, me neither. And Utena's like, well, what do you mean? You're nominated for Dance Queen. You should go. But Anthony says she doesn't really like big crowds because it freaks her out. Utena then insists that Anthony should go make some friends. And Anthony pauses for a second and says, okay, if that's what you want me to do, I'm the Rose Bride. I have to do things you say. She doesn't say that, but that's clearly the way she's saying it. We get the Kashira theater troupe. They do a little routine about how balls are really just man traps for girls. Find your prince, ladies. It's very funny.
I really like the one in the next episode.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. This one's funny because it just, like, keeps cutting them back to dancing and then, like, them having three dogs on a leash or whatever, like, these derpy-looking dogs. We cut to the party, and it's just a fancy rich person ball. We get a shot of Toga looking wistfully out the window, and Nanami comes to see him, and we learn that they're siblings.
Ugh, but it's like the gross
sirens.
This is super duper a like shoujo thing where like there's the handsome brother and then the little sister who like overly jealous of anyone and then tries to savage blah blah. That is so shoujo.
Yep, this is a big trope that shows up quite often.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Getting it here. The MC announces that the party is on. Toga and Nanami come out to see Utena and Anthy in their dresses at the top of the stairs. What do we think about their dresses?
I hate both of them.
Yep.
But
Anthy looks like lettuce.
Green looks nice on Anthy. Yeah, it does look nice, the color at least. But yeah. Oh, God. But she has like little bows in her hair. And I'm like, that doesn't make you look fancier. I feel like it just cheapens the look. But.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have a question.
Yes.
Is her hair that short or is it like curled?
It's curled.
Do we see it long ever?
You eventually
it looks like
do.
It's like rolled and pinned. Okay.
Yeah, I remember scenes where it is, so.
Okay.
Nanami tells Toga that she invited Anthy because he's been so interested in her lately, but Toga only has eyes for Utena and basically doesn't hear her at all. Utena hates her dress, and Anthy's like, I'm sorry you have to embarrass yourself for me. And Utena's like, am I embarrassing myself? Is it that bad?
Yeah, that was funny.
Nanami comes to greet Anthy and drags her off, and Utena says, oh, look, she's already making new friends. It's going so well. Then Toga shows up and is like way too happy to see her in a dress, and she complains that it doesn't really suit her, but he says, that's nonsense. You should come dance with me. But Utena is hesitant. She's like,
He's all up. He like ready to grind dance up on her. He is right there behind her.
Way it eager.
Too close.
Nanami leads Anthy out to the main floor and leaves her there. Anthy gets nervous with everyone looking at her and starts to like shut down, basically. And we see that is Nanami
illness. Is there like I feel like there's some kind of thing where this happens where like you see you can't see people's faces or something.
Oh,
I feel like this is a
That's like aphantasia
disorder or something.
But that's like, is that what that is? I don't know. It's not all the time though. It's just like I think she gets nervous in crowds.
Well, I guess she's very much been raised to just fixate on whoever the one person is. So anything more than that is overwhelming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Anthony doesn't like crowds. We see that Nanami has reunited with the bullies from earlier. Gasp! They were in cahoots the whole time. She gives the signal to a waiter who picks up a champagne bottle and walks over to Anthy. He sprays the bottle all over her, pretending it's an accident, and we learn that the dress Nanami gave her dissolves when it's wet, and the top of it starts to come apart.
This makes me think of Never Been Kissed, where all the bullies try to throw dog food on her when she's dancing.
Oh, yeah, this is the very Carrie part. This feels like a thing that would happen in, like, the OC or Degrassi or something.
Oh, God, the OC! We're better than that. That's a Degrassi thing. There's a bit more sophistication with the OC.
I never really watched it.
It's so good.
Okay. back on the stairs, Utena ultimately refuses to dance with Toga, saying that she isn't interested in dancing. And he's like, well, then why did you come? And she says, and she tells him that she thought that maybe he was somebody that she knew. Maybe you were. But they're interrupted when Anthy screams and Utena runs to her, and Toga recognizes this as one of Nanami's schemes. Utena tosses away her dress to reveal her prince outfit underneath it. Then she jumps from the second floor
not
to
possible.
Anthy. Yeah.
It was a sleeveless top. She was not wearing that under there. Just saying. How did she do it?
We're about to transition real hard into
fairy tale
time.
She's a fashion designer on the side.
Yeah, it rules. She grabs a tablecloth and fastens it into a new dress for Anthy.
Looks way better than the other one.
It looks way better. This whole sequence is very funny. Where it's like, she throws away the dress. She's in the prince outfit. She doesn't walk down the stairs. She jumps onto a table that, like, breaks the table.
Collapse under. Yes.
We're getting real
cartoony here.
Oh, yeah. Choo-choo puts on a record.
It's not just her outfit. It's her prince outfit.
Yes. It's her prince outfit.
How'd she do that without Anthy?
Well, we see the prince outfit manifest kind of whenever she's about to do something impossible. Heroic.
Oh, okay. So it like enhances physical abilities or something?
I don't think it's a literal object.
Okay. Oh, okay. It's just a
like
visual, like you.
Well,
like the other characters are saying it.
Yeah. I mean, let me finish this out and then we can talk about that.
All right. Yep.
Yep. We're very close to the end. Choo Choo puts on a record and the two start dancing. And Nami's
sorry.
Uh huh.
See, I paused because I already knew it. Okay. Choo Choo. A fun little, he like puts a record on and then he gets stuck on it and it just rotates and he's just making the cutest little noises. Choo Choo is the best. I love him.
Yep. While this is happening, Nanami's like, wait, I'm sorry. What just happened? Who is this chick who just jumped from the second floor? Toga comes to her and says that's Utena. And he's like, I invited her, but she ditched the dress I gave her. And Nanami's like, he gave her a dress? Utena and Anthy continue to dance as we cut to credits.
Okay. I wonder, well, they say he's a playboy.
Yep.
But is it like, he breaks a bunch of girls' hearts, but is it him or is it just his sister going, like, being a menace to every girl that's ever talked to him?
I don't know.
I mean, I don't want to chalk him up to being likable and not capable of breaking hearts, but I'm glad we didn't have to see Sionji in this.
We did not see Sionji.
They didn't have to show him to.
Yep, we got a break from him.
He's going to look insane when he comes back because he's been holed up.
Maybe. Who knows what kind of condition he's in.
You do.
I do.
You know.
I know. But yeah, so about the... When reality is happening in this show is interesting. Because, the show kind of happens in a couple different parts. We have, the school life stuff where everybody is basically behaving like a human being in normal society. Well, I mean, they're in weird upper class academy society, but things that happen could plausibly happen.
Yeah.
And then we have moments where we are in fairy tale land, like when we ascend to the dueling arena or when Utena takes off her dress and reveals her prince outfit. And then kind of all bets are off in terms of what people can do and how permanent reality is and that kind of thing. And then we have the kind of cutaway things, right? So we have the Kashira shadow troop, and the sequences of things kind of unfolding. Those are kind of the three different stages that happen in Utena episodes. It seems like this one's interesting because there isn't really a transition point in the same way that the other ones have. Because you just you go to the dueling arena and then you show up in fairy tale world. Here it's we're just doing it. Utena just turns it on when it needs to be turned on. She becomes the prince when she needs to, kind of thing. And I think that's interesting.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I don't have a bigger point than that. I'm just pointing that out to help me try to construct my thoughts.
This is a Sarah. You're not understanding how this show works. Okay.
I'm just saying that's what's going on. That's what I think is going on.
I feel we get much time with just Utena, because I feel we don't have a lot of time with just Utena. It's Utena and Anthy always. I'm seeing more personality from Anthy, and they're kind of building the dynamic of her just being kind of it's ditzy space cadet when it's just them, but then outside their relationship she's just being treated so badly. And then Utena just seems generally cool, but I feel I don't know very much about her still.
Yeah.
We get more time with her.
We do. We get more stuff about her. It's kind of being drip-fed to us right now.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because it does, whatever it does feel like, or at least next episode in particular, feels like you could just watch that episode in one sitting and not need to watch anything else, because it's all... it doesn't reflect on what happened in this episode in that episode, really. It's episodic versus serial or whatever. I don't know. I feel it changes. In some episodes, it feels super connected. And then the next one, it feels this could just be a one-off little comedy bit thing.
Yeah. No, it is very like that. It kind of transitions back and forth between those two things. Uh-huh. So we're just going to have to kind of keep track of stuff. The thing that's interesting in this episode is when Utena says that she is a normal girl that wants a normal boy, but then she is... actually searching for this prince guy who is very much not going to be a normal boy. So it's very her stated, what she says about herself is not really matching what she's doing. So it's kind of an interesting thing. I think it's also kind of interesting that the kind of conflict that gets created here happens in the kind of regular side of things, but it gets resolved through the fairy tale ending kind of thing.
Cool.
Which kind of takes away the ending that we would have got if this was Degrassi or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And so that's kind of interesting.
Poor Anthy.
Yeah. Poor Anthy.
Sentiment from this
doesn't want friends.
We do need a slap counter. Was that four slaps we're at now?
I think so.
Literally, it's everyone. Not even people in the know that she's the bride that would feel some kind of authority over here. It's just random schoolmates slapping her.
Yep. It's just happening.
Oh, what the heck?
Should we go into episode 4?
Yeah, let's do it.
Episode 4.
Begin.
Episode 4 is called The Sunlit Garden - Prelude, because this is a part 1. We open on a duel between Utena and the blue-haired boy in the student council named Mickey. Utena is like, are you for sure, man? Are you really don't seem like you're a fighter. I feel like I'm gonna win this duel. But Mickey is insistent that he needs to get his music back. He needs Anthy, even if it means hurting Utena. And then the scene dissolves into a flashback of Mickey playing the piano, but stopping when Nanami shows up and she asks him why he dropped out of the piano competition. He's so good. He probably could have won. Why did you just quit? But Mickey comments that the piano is out of tune. But really, it's him that needs tuning. And then he goes back to playing the same song he was playing before. Nanami's like, what's the song you're playing? And he says that it's the only song that means anything to him. And if he keeps playing it, maybe she will hear it. And Nanami's like, ooh, it sounds romantic. She flips through his sheet music, but stops when she sees a picture of Anthy in the book. And she's clearly annoyed. And she asks him the name of the song. And he replies, The Sunlit Garden. It's the name of the episode. Mm-hmm. We cut to Wakaba and Utena commiserating over their terrible math scores. Utena is usually good at school, but has been distracted with the duels lately, so she now needs to take a makeup exam.
I mean, it's been two duels, and I feel like you're not super thinking that much about them outside of those two duels, which is just 2 days back to back. No excuse, Utena.
Yeah, it's not very convincing. I feel like she probably just didn't study.
So what's the scoring? Is it like 40 and above is passing? I always confused by the,
I thought it was 50
scoring. It seems
low. I don't know,
like the bar seems low.
Well,
per passing score,
I think, I don't know. So in the U.S. education system that we both participated in, it's like A's a 90 and above, B's a B, 80 and above, C is that, you know what I mean? And you have to get at least a C to pass. So that's 70%.
Yeah.
I know that's not the same everywhere else. Like, I know that like European systems work a little bit differently. I'm sure Japanese system works differently. But anyway, she got like a 38. So it was bad. That's pretty bad.
Yeah. Math sucks. The end.
Math sucks. The end. Elsewhere, Anthy is filling up her watering can, and then she suddenly gets slapped by the bullies from last episode. They're back, and they're slapping her again.
Slap number 5.
Yep. This time, it's her fault that Mickey dropped out of the piano contest, but Anthy says she has no idea what they're talking about.
Wild.
Yep. Suddenly, Mickey shows up and shoos the bullies off. He apologizes to her for getting her caught up in his drama, but she thanks him for helping her out, and he gets embarrassed. This is where I started to try to figure out what's going on with Mickey's stopwatch scenes, because like every time he's about to say something or like enter a scene, there's like usually a part where he clicks a stopwatch, which seems to just like track to the beginning of the scene. So it feels to me like he's trying to hit his like cue or something.
I don't know. Maybe it's like music thing, rhythm. I don't know.
Maybe
anything about music.
Maybe I'm trying not to just look up. Like, I'm sure somebody knows online. I'm trying not to look up the answer. I'm trying to come up with it myself. You know, like I'm really learning something here. Maybe it is music. I didn't think about that. He is the music guy. I should have thought about that. I'll try looking at that next time. Anyway,
look at Sarah bringing like plausible.
Yeah, the hypothesis
ideas to the table.
Sarah, yeah. The hypothesis master.
That's me.
They walk together and Utena and Wakaba sees them out the window. And Wakaba tells Utena that Mickey is a genius studying college level classes while playing piano and fencing. He's very popular. It's weird that he's with Anthy, though. What do they have in common? I mean, they're both in the student council. She knows this. Mm. We cut to the.
She should.
Yeah. We cut to the orange-haired student council member whose name is Juri, checking in on Mickey in the library.
Weird name.
Yeah. He's correcting Anthy's math test and hints that he has a crush. Huh?
Is that not a woman?
Oh.
Juri is a dude?
Oh, Juri's a woman.
Okay, I thought you said Juri was a dude.
No.
There's no way. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, Mickey is correcting Anthy's math test and hints that he has a crush on her. Later that night, Mickey brings Anthy, the corrected test, to Anthy's dorm. Nearby, Utena's like, damn, I wish somebody would tutor me. Mickey introduces himself to Utena and shows her his rose seal ring. And she's like, oh, don't tell me. You're going to challenge me to a duel? But Mickey's like, no, I'm not really interested in dueling. Don't worry about it.
I hope that means that she's like, okay, there's multiple people with rings. That doesn't make stupid face. Holga,
she saw Sionji's ring last time.
Yeah,
because Toga said that he has the ring to meet her, which is the thing the prince said. That's why she thinks that.
Okay.
Mickey gives Anthy some of the notes he made for her, and Utena's like, "Ooh, seems like you are interested in her." And he comments that she kind of reminds him of somebody that he knows. Even still, he's not going to duel Utena, so don't worry about it. That definitely won't happen. Ignore that flash forward we got at the beginning of the episode. Yeah. That'll never happen. Mm-hmm. She's like, good, because we got behind at school because of those duels. And he's like, we? Do you need help too? We cut to Mickey playing piano again. But Toga is here this time, and he comments that Mickey is playing better than ever. He's like, have you found that thing you've been telling me you've been missing? And Mickey says yes, and we get a flashback of him and a girl as children playing piano together. We return on him
So... Mm-hmm. They're friends.
Yeah.
All these people. I thought they were like all randomly brought together and they didn't seem like they like. Maybe they just all don't like Sionji.
Well, yeah.
Is that
like,
what it is?
They're on the student council. They're not all friends. Like, clearly, Juri and Mickey are friends, right? Like, I don't think they're friends with Sionji that much. They don't seem to like him very much.
Yeah.
And none of them are friends with Anthy.
No.
Because Mickey is just like interacting with her for the first time, basically.
Yeah. Well, is it just he's been like admiring her from afar? Well, he's had a photo of her. He's been at least eyeing her for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to know what's the record, like what duels have taken place up to this point. I would like that context. That'd be good to know so I can gauge.
I don't know.
And who's getting selected for this? What makes these people special? Or is it? Whatever, we'll find out with time, I'm assuming.
We return on him looking at a picture of Anthy, and Toga comments that he's jealous of Mickey finding his special thing, and an unhappy Nanami hears this from outside the room and is like, why does everybody like Anthy so much?
Who's letting her in here? Get out of here, girl.
We get the Kashira theater troupe. They do a bit about how boys will like you until they know your weird interests, and then they'll leave you.
I like this one. It is funny.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
We cut to Mickey coming to Utena's dorm to help them study, but guess what? He brought along Nanami, so the four of them can study together. Yay, new friends. They set up in Anthy and Utena's room and drink some tea. We learn that Nanami is not here to study. She's here to ruin Anthy's reputation with Utena and Mickey, and her plan is to plant a snail in Anthy's pencil bag and then pretend to find it so she can frame her as a weird snail lover, and that'll make Utena and Mickey turn on her for sure. So she hatches the plan. She borrows Anthy's pencil case and is about to plant the snail that she brought, but is surprised when she opens it and it's already full of snails, and Nanami's like, what the hell is this? But everybody else is chill about it. Nanami tries again, but this time she's gonna plant a garden snake in Anthy's desk. Unfortunately, this time, Anthy's desk already has a mongoose in it who eats the snake. And once again, everybody is very chill about this.
Okay, I like Anthy likes animals. Don't keep them in a desk drawer. That doesn't seem humane, you know? I mean, well, you know what? I did have ferrets, and ferrets would just like crawl into drawers and fall asleep in them. So it could be that. And that's not the actual cage she's keeping the mongoose in. But I don't know if mongoose eat the snakes like that, or
I think they do. I think mongoose eat snakes.
Yeah. Okay, do they?
Yeah, they just bite him in the head just like that.
Okay, he ate it like a noodle.
Yeah. Let's see. Nanami has one last plan to put an octopus in Anthy's closet, but this time when she opens the closet, she's crushed by a giant inflatable octopus that Anthy had taken from the school festival. Nanami has been defeated, so they just study like normal, and Anthy gets distracted making flip animations in her notebook.
This is a very long sequence of gags.
Yes, it is. We're in gag world here.
I mean, we're getting more Anthy vibes. Anthy's just spacey and a little weirdo.
Yeah, she is very weird.
When she gets to be her own person.
But everybody likes it. Is the thing. Like, nobody's really bothered by it.
No, yeah. Well, Utena's living with it. This is just day to day for her.
But yeah, Utena's responses are always just like, I told you not to put the mongoose in your desk. Or like, I told you, I thought you were going to throw away the giant inflatable octopus. Very funny.
Yes.
They decide on something to eat. Or to get something to eat. And Nami says that she actually made a box lunch for them and gets it out of her bag. But it turns out that Choo Choo had already eaten all of it. And Nami's like, what? Oh, great. Another animal. Cool. Awesome. Anthy apologizes and says that she'll make something and makes them her specialty, shaved ice.
I don't like snow cones.
No, they're fine.
No, doesn't do it for me.
Nanami is like, okay, this is all wrong. She can't have all these animals inside this room. That's impossible. Also, we can't eat shaved ice for dinner. We'll get sick. That's crazy. I have like a delicate stomach. This is dumb. Anyway, why are you all being so normal and chill about this? We're not in fairy tale world. We're in normal reality world. We're supposed to be weirded out by stuff like this. It's weird as hell and you know it. And she and Mickey start to argue, but they all stop when they realize that Anthy has left the room after getting talked down to. Anthy goes to the piano and comments that maybe she should have made something more appropriate to eat, which, yeah, you should have.
Yeah.
She starts to play the sunlit garden and the others go to find her. Mickey is like, holy shit, it's just like when my little sister played. It's just like that. That's crazy. This is it. Anthy is the thing I've been missing, he's decided. And we get a shot of Anthy playing piano as we cut to credits.
Okay, so what? Is this supposed to make us think that she's his sister? Because I have a hard time believing that.
He knows it's not his sister.
Okay, what happened to his... Okay.
Mm.
This is a weird-ass episode, I gotta say.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like there's importance... Like, Nanami, get out of here. Like,
the Nanami, like, gag bits are so funny.
It's just bizarre. Well, no. At some point, we get the godforsaken talk about the egg and the chick and the blah, blah, blah. We're getting a lot of, like... And you like this? Where it's like, oh, let's just play the same thing every episode.
Oh, the repetition?
Animation, whatever. Yes. I don't like
that. You don't like repetition?
No, I like new content. There's like whenever they're going to the top of the tower, the crazy ass tower. And that's when they all, it's the whole where the chicken, the egg, and the blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah, the student council meeting.
I guess that's just the elevator model.
The elevator sequence. Yep.
Duh.
You don't like repeated sequences. I like repeated sequences. Nope. I like it when they're doing stuff with it. I think it's good.
Yep. That's the thing.
Well, I mean, listen, you got to make a bunch of episodes of TV pretty quick. It's efficient to reuse some of those sequences.
I guess so.
They're cool sequences is the thing. Like, they're not repeating lame stuff, which is the thing I like.
Mm-hmm. Was Anthony in the opening the first episode, or did they add her into the opening? I can't remember if that was like...
I think she's in the opening.
I watched the opening better this time. Okay. It really is about the two of them. I just can't tell if it's going to be a friendship thing or if it's going to blossom into anything else.
Yeah. I don't know.
Mickey. I like that character.
Yeah, our little soft boy.
We're like, yes. And Jury is somehow related to him, so I'm assuming the next one of the student council we learn about will be Jury, because Mickey will somehow resolve with Utena and then be good vibes and then be like, oh, you should hang out with Utena, and then Jury's gonna be like, what up, or something like that is my guess of what happens next.
Mm-hmm.
Jury's next on the docket.
Yep.
It's not that big. It's Ionji, Koga, Mickey, Jury, and Anthy, right? That's it? That's all that's in the student council?
That's it.
And then, I'm trying to think of the characters in the opening, because Nanami, so we have her.
Yep.
And that's everyone, right? We're not really getting any... The prince. The prince from her past. That's the one character, I think, that was in the opening that we haven't seen yet, but we're only on episode 3, so I don't anticipate meeting him episode 4 for some time.
I will say,
I guess he's just gonna be learning about them.
I don't think this is not a spoiler, but
this
show's kind of broken down into 3 arcs.
Okay,
I guess if that makes sense. Because I have the Blu-rays, and that's it. Let me get the Blu-rays so I can look at them.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, so this says it's sagas. So the first 12 episodes are the student council saga, where I bet you can imagine what happens. Okay. The second one is also 12 episodes called the Black Rose Saga.
Ooh.
And then the last one is just the rest of the show. And that is the Apocalypse Saga. So, yes.
Black Rose. Oh, does Anthony get like a rival or something? Okay. Ooh.
So, yeah, no. We are going to get the student count. Like, this is going to be very formulaic at the beginning of like, we're getting little 2-part episodes for everybody.
Gotcha. Okay.
With some stuff in between.
And then we're gonna...
But the stuff in between does matter somewhat.
Mm, okay. Was this ever on, like, when this came to the U.S., where was this available? This wasn't on, like, Adult Swim or anything, was it? Where was this? Where could someone encounter this in the wild?
That's a good question. Yeah,
there is a dub.
I don't know. I'm like a bad person to ask where people watched anime in the U.S. because I didn't start doing
I guess because like Inuyasha, Bleach, stuff like that was on Adult Swim, but like Magical Doremi or whatever I think was available somewhere, and that's the closest thing as far as shoujo that I can think of. But
this is saying this and dubbing wiki. In the United States, the series was released on VHS in 1998 by Central Park Media under their software Sculpt.
Four kids. Four kids had a lot of anime on that. That's what Doremi was.
No. Yeah, that's weird. I don't know.
Is it just... Well, because it's like you couldn't... Okay. Oh, I don't know. I guess it's not like every anime that had a dub necessarily would have been airing on U.S. televisions. They could have just brought it straight to physical.
I guess. That seems kind of weird, but I mean...
Yeah.
It can't be that expensive to make a dub for an anime, right?
So like, accessible. I don't know.
You probably don't have to sell that many of them to make your money back. So who knows? Oh, wait, here we go.
Yeah.
I'm at otori.inu.
This is the most riveting part of the podcast.
Shh, I'm reading. Okay. The release history in English is also a mess. A company called Inoki Films took the American license of the content that and was popular at the time, changed a great deal of content, calling it Ursula's Kiss and removing a lot of the questionable content. This version though advertised thankfully never came to light. The distributor Central Park Media instead released the first arc of the series in 1998 as it aired with translations. This resulted in the most horrifying VHS box art in history, in a strange situation where you could only see the first 14 episodes and had to manically trawl through the fan sub community to get the rest. So they released the first arc and then they ran into licensing to get the remainder of the show. Finally settled the legal mess in 2002, releasing the remainder of the series on DVD in English. So I guess it didn't air on TV. Oh, nope, here we go. Utena has a bizarre airing history. A television station in Hawaii aired the initial 14 episodes released in 2007. And Funimation took over the broadcasting rights in 2006, airing the show on their Funimation channel multiple times.
Oh, okay.
But there were weird licensing issues. I guess it was licensed like per arc. So you could get different chunks of it, but it was hard to get the whole thing.
That's crazy.
Which sounds stupid.
I'm looking on a subreddit. Ursula's Kiss. Okay, this is the image. I send it to you. Does it the art that they're talking about? Anyway, some fun thing, listeners. If you know more about this, we'd love to hear. Or if you. Let's see.
Yeah, I'm trying not to. I'm trying not to just read through all of the stuff on all these websites because I don't want this like podcast to be like, I read this on the, like me just reading stuff, like kind of what I just did.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe I should so I can at least answer questions. Maybe I should let you ask the questions and then I can.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I just stuff. Was like, I'd be interested in how this was, I don't know, brought to us.
Yeah, I never know. I'm like. Even though I was there, I was not there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So anime licensing has always been a nightmare. And then in a lot of ways, it kind of continues to be a nightmare. But, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the fun little bit all trimmed down for us. But interesting. I don't know. I'm finding it interesting because this is stuff that I never would have thought about being a consumer of anime that you've, like, I feel like discussed more. And then it's like, oh, it is interesting to see, like. I don't know. That's like, I like listening to podcasts about the reception of things that I've never even watched, maybe even of movies and stuff. So it's like, even if I guess it should be interesting to listen. I don't know. Yeah. Let's get more anime history. There's got to be anime history podcasts.
Oh, for sure. There's probably tons. I mean, again, like, this is, I'm sure there's like lots of YouTubers that do this type of thing.
It's us. We're the ultimate source of information.
We know nothing. And make very shallow attempts to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. We're here for fun.
We're here for fun.
This is the listen along, have people to hear opinions on as you're watching with some substance.
Yeah. If you want.
But don't expect all the substance.
If you want people to like really deep dive into stuff, I don't know, go listen to like Mobile Suit Breakdown or something. You know, somebody who's really putting that is that's like the stated mission of what they're doing. The stated mission of what we're doing is we're I'm being shown stuff. That's our stated mission.
We're having fun.
We're having a good time.
Yes.
And if you've been having a good time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rate us 5 stars on your podcast platform of choice. Yeah. Nailed the transition.
Did it. Yes. Seamless.
If you know stuff that you want to tell us, like about the history of the broadcasting, or maybe you watched those 11 episodes on that Hawaiian station. If you watch those, please leave a comment anywhere, everywhere. Send us an email at shoujopod@gmail.com. We have to know. Somebody watched that.
Yes. It would be fun to, yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, if you guys ever have questions or if there's anything like that, if we got enough, we could even start having questions on podcast ask. But do that in your reviews.
Why would they name it Ursula's Kiss? That's so random.
I Googled Ursula's Kiss and then I just saw a bunch of Photoshop Ariel and Ursula kissing from Disney.
That's true. That's the only Ursula kiss in my mind. It's so funny.
Yes.
Oh, did they do it? You know how like they try to like make Japanese names into like Western sounding names like a long time ago? Maybe that's you change Utena to Ursula.
Oh, well, something. One of the sound like, yeah, I don't know. They used to just English dub of anime used to just butcher the source material.
Yeah, it's like naming her Serena instead of Usagi. Yeah, that one sounds like that has like the same mouth shape, though, to it.
Serena
Usagi.
I feel like
it's got the sa in it.
Usagi. I guess the syllables, it's the same syllable.
Yeah.
Count. Anyways.
Yeah.
Or if you're an anime voice actor and you want to share, blah, blah, blah. Whatever. Yeah,
if you made, if you the person who made Ursula's Kiss, write in. That didn't get released. We got to know.
Yeah. Dita, this is your chance. It's been long enough. The NDAs have expired or whatever.
Hold on.
All right.
I found an archive link to Ursula's Kiss Hero TV, the trailer for the Filipino dub of Ursula's Kiss / Revolutionary Girl Utena. Mm-hmm. What is this? This still has English dub in it.
Oh.
Like the narrator is still in English, even though it's. Oh, there's some really good, like, PowerPoint transitions with, like, words on it. This is good. I'm going to link this to you. Like part
you
of it,
see it in your glasses. You kind of see it reflected in your glasses.
Ugh. All right.
Okay. All right. But we should wrap it up here for today. Yep. So, what else we got? We got one lesson learned. Again, stop slapping people. I mean, my God, is that asking so much?
It turns out,
don't put high schoolers in don't put children in mini skirts. As like the school requirement, maybe.
It turns out, and I've done a little sewing myself, most main staple articles of clothing are kind of just you fold over a big rectangle and make a little mat and like make a little hole for your head. Like if you look at like Roman like tunics and that kind of stuff, it's pretty much just that.
Okay.
So like if you understand the fundamentals of shapes and how they can drape over your body, you probably could just fashion a dress out of a tablecloth. Maybe learn like some little like rudimentary, you know, clothing shapes sometime. It might become useful for you.
Okay.
Never take the stairs to the first floor. Jump. Just jump down for no reason and destroy a table that you landed on that like had food on it and stuff. Just do that. Who's gonna stop you?
No one, clearly.
Don't
eat the packets that come in packages. Those are toxic.
Yep, don't do that.
Or don't let your pets eat those.
Don't keep your mongoose in your desk.
Attend your pet better. Yeah.
Well, he's not her pet.
Yes. Okay. Well, we don't know what
he's her friend.
Yeah.
We know this.
Okay.
He said it multiple times.
Okay. Yes, that was another gag of like, you have no friends, and then him being like, I'm her friend, basically. Pauses. Or don't have too many pets if you can't take care of all of them properly.
If you're hitting on a girl, don't touch her hair.
Don't make a shaved eyes. It's clearly triggering. No touchy the hair. If people upset you, music is a lovely outlet for your feelings. And maybe you'll find your long lost friend or brother of a friend or whoever you learn, whatever that is.
Yeah. You should always start conversations saying how you're never going to duel somebody. And then ironically have to duel them like the next day. Always a good call.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Make statements.
Yeah, make statements. Repeat sequences.
Declare things. Oh, God,
just declare
do that.
Things. Enough with the maybes.
Right or wrong.
You're going to do this or you're not going to do this. Declarative statements only.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's interesting. It's an interesting watch so far. So I'm excited to see more. If I like this, I feel like I'm going to have to find art for things like the Rose of Versailles and Revolutionary Girl Utena. Those are both not things I've seen at conventions.
I feel like Utena would show up occasionally. I think Rose of Versailles is going to be hard. That movie did not catch on here.
No. Well, I would like to see if I had something from each show we've covered, but then I had to get something for My Happy Marriage, which I have on.
You could probably get that, though. I mean, it's still coming out.
That's something I could get.
Did the scene of them going to the ball remind you of the Rose of Versailles? It reminded me of that, because there's like lots of ball scenes in that.
I mean, a lot less detailed than the Rose of Versailles as far as like showing off all the outfits and stuff. I feel like it's just a lot of like,
yeah, but like when they were dancing with like the rose petals kind of thing going down.
Yeah. You know what? I saw that new Dracula movie.
Oh, yeah.
And there is a brief scene where they're in the Palace of Versailles. Ooh. And I was like, oh, my God, it's like we're in Rose of Versailles. So that was fun. Yeah, that movie was fine, but yeah, so exciting new series we're covering. We'll catch you guys next time for episodes 5 and 6.
Yeah,
maybe after the first arc. No, what do we think? What is it gonna get crazier with other arcs? We'll see if we have to change the format of how many episodes we're covering, but
yeah, I felt like maybe we could do one more, but I don't know if that's gonna really carry over, so I think we'll play it safe for this one.
Yeah, sounds good. All right. Okay. See you guys next time for Revolutionary Girl Utena episodes 5 and 6 on Shoujo.
Bye.
Bye.